Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Sadak.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you're new to the program, this week we're doing what we like to call a movie that technically shouldn't be real. Like, this is like almost a fake movie. It's 1990's Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe, starring our good friend, the Governator. Or he wasn't a Nader, no. He was just the body governor.
Come on, I was the Nader.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Did you just call me Ralph Nader? I'll punch your throat out.
You know, that guy made seatbelts a law. I want to punch that guy right in the throat, making me wear a seatbelt. That's not America.
That's how they track you. They put tracking mechanisms in your seatbelts.
That could be a thing.
That very well could be a thing. So it's Jesse the Body Ventura and our good friend Sven Ole Thorsen, who's been in so many things. He's best buds with the Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's gotten around. He's made the rounds of the governors. It's a real governor's ball that guy's having.
This movie is directed by a fellow, by the way, named Damian Lee, who also stars in the movie a little bit and produced it. Real passion project for this guy. And it is a complete Terminator ripoff.
It's such a Terminator ripoff.
And it's not even funny how much this is a Terminator ripoff.
And I hate Terminator ripoffs because Terminator has got a really specific action movie engine and correct me if I'm wrong, it invented. You know what I mean? Like, protect the kid, let's go through the thing, I'm from another world. Like,
I mean, if it didn't invent it, it's the one that made it the most famous.
So with that, to take that any other way other than Terminator, it's just really like, oh, you did that, huh?
Yeah, you know, two guys from the future coming into the past, they're unkillable fighting machines.
Well, what if they are space cops?
Okay.
Coming in, instead of from the future... Uh-huh. From outer space.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that idea.
Well, let's call them finders because you know what? They're good at finding things.
Mm-hmm. Man.
They do not terminate. They find.
Yes.
The uncreative names for things in this movie. Like, you know, we always joke about, don't make a big, super complicated name for something. You know,
like Abraxas.
Just make, if you're going to have a ray gun, like call it a gun. You know what I mean? It doesn't need to be a transmogrifying light death ray or whatever. Not that that movie does that, but like a finder, stop. That's just not even a thing.
Well, and the problem with this movie is the audio mix, or at least in the only way we could have seen this movie.
One of the shittiest VHS tapes known to man, but what are you going to do?
That was a DVD. That was a DVD that I bought.
Dude, that is definitely a VHS transfer, though, on that DVD.
But the audio mix, I actually printed it out because I was able to find how they mix the audio. The dialogue, they turned down to 12.4%. The saxophone, they pumped up to 226%. Because people are trying to talk over this saxophone score, and it's like talking in a subway tunnel. It's like, what? What?
You got to know when to use your saxophone, too. You know what? Chase scenes, Not so much a good idea.
No, yeah. Because then you're in like a John Grisham thriller. That's when if you're in a chase scene in a John Grisham thriller, that's where the saxophone comes in.
Pick up basketball game. Now let's get that saxophone going.
Picking up a lady, taking her to the bedroom.
Yes,
definitely.
Oh, that's when the saxophone usually.
That's
lives.
When the saxophone becomes the sexophone.
That's why Bill Clinton learned how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only reason.
That's the way I'm going to get all these chicks in Arkansas. Just learn how to play the saxophone.
Oh, shit. Did I say saxophone? I meant saxophone.
Copyright Bill Clinton, 1967.
Al Gore may have invented the internet, but I invented the saxophone.
Man, and Hollywood ripped it off.
It did. So it's a Terminator ripoff.
Right.
Abraxas is a finder. He's 10,000 years old.
No.
Please, let's get the exact age.
The exact age.
Because I have it.
You do the exact 10,000 years on the job as a finder. I've been finding things for 10,000 years.
I was flaunting that I had the exact age. 11,860 years old. So my first 1,862 years on the planet, I was in high school. I was running Finders track team meets.
When does this guy get to retire? What kind of watch do you get after 10,000 years of service? Is it made out of starlight? Like what?
What's also interesting is like his hair is graying at this point. He's bald.
He's bald as anything.
And it's like that's what you look like when you're nearing 12,000 years old.
What does a decrepit person from Abraxas's home planet look like?
Yeah, like 100,000 years old.
Like that's
dude.
Like some Yoda shit. But even Yoda was only like 800 years old.
Yeah,
or something?
Ballpark. I think
Yoga.
Chewbacca's 300, and Yoda's probably 500.
Yeah, Chewbacca was up there, man.
You know, it's pretty redonkulous. Yeah.
You just got all these old fuckers defending the galaxy. Where's the young meat?
Alec Guinness was a young pup in that movie.
Oh, they still treat me so poorly because I'm the young'un of the group.
But the speaking of the bald thing, like this is, I was really surprised.
If you're about to say what I'm thinking, you're about to say, I was shocked
that Jesse the Body Ventura is not wearing a bandana in this movie. Like,
No, I was going to say that we'll get out of the way right now, but the secret rat tail.
Yes, that's what I thought you were going for.
But no, you're totally right, Steve. You put a bandana on this guy. Because here's the thing that doesn't happen, right? There's always, like in Terminator, right? He goes through the time tunnel and he's nude and he goes and he gets the biker's clothing, you know, and he's blending in. But Abraxas is doing a really bad job at blending in. He's wearing a World's Gym t-shirt the entire film, a brown trench coat.
Oh, yeah. Nothing screams sex criminal.
Yeah, he looks like a 42nd Street flasher in this movie. He looks disgusting. And then you got that secret rat tail where you don't even see it till like 30 minutes into the movie. He just turns at the right angle and the little tail just flops out. And I was like, that just makes so much sense.
It's like being a Jedi Padawan. I got this rat tail after my 10,000th year of service.
Because I'm only 11,000 years old. I might as well basically be a teeny bopper. So I got my Padawan rat tail.
So, Damien, I know you have a really strong views on the costuming, but do you think maybe Abraxas and the rest of the Finders could have bandanas or backwards baseball caps?
What the fuck do you think this is, aside from my vision? Of course not. You will be bald with a rat tail and a World's Gym t-shirt.
Yeah, a rat tail when you're bald, he kind of looks like Samuel Coleridge or something. Like it's just an old school, like an old timey old France kind of thing. Like he looks like he's wearing a powdered wig.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks really bad in this. He's also very out of shape.
Yeah.
At this point, he's got a thin face. Like his face hadn't really started to age yet, and those gorgeous brown eyes were still glistening, but everything about everything else is just run down and tired and wearing a Gold's Gym t-shirt.
Now, I don't remember the exact the dates here, but but Running Man was not that long ago, right? Like, it wasn't. It was.
And Running Man, I want to say, is like 86 or something.
87 or something like that. And then this was filmed in December of 89.
What the fuck happened?
Like, hard times happened.
Oh, shit. I can't come to the Christmas party. I'll be filming a Praxis that day.
Yeah, sorry. The director, Damien Lee's making me work on Christmas. He's a real slave driver.
This movie's 1990 and Running Man's 87. Yeah, that's actually kind of ridiculous that he's...
There is some real, like, ex-wrestler living in a car situation.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, is I think that once you get off the steroids and you're not working out a lot,
right,
that turns to fat immediately.
It's like choosing the wrong grail.
It's just, like, you got to stay on steroids or find, you know, maybe do some Diamond Dallas Page yoga.
I chose poorly. I chose the bejeweled cup, and it really blew up in my face.
I did
now
not.
I got to play Abraxas.
Like, how is this a movie that somebody, like, there? I mean, there's not a lot of money in this movie. Clearly, like, the saxophone budget was out of control. But, like, how did you, like, what is the point of this movie? Did they think this movie's going to get released in theaters? Was this, oh, people won't notice we filmed this mostly in somebody's backyard?
It was on a farm in Ontario.
You know, I did a Google image search of this movie.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
wow.
And I found a VHS cover that was grossly inaccurate to the film because it had a younger Jesse on there with a full mustache.
What?
And it's like, listen, if you're putting the mustache on the VHS case,
mm-hmm,
I better find a fucking mustache in that movie.
Yeah, definitely.
What, I mean, what was the opposition to having a like, we know he can grow a great mustache.
Oh, crap, I trimmed it too short. Now I look ridiculous. We're going to have to go reshoot the whole film because I'm going to shave it off before I get to set.
Maybe he got so into the character that he was like, Abraxas wouldn't have a mustache.
But if anything, Abraxas would definitely have a mustache because all Abraxas is a space cop.
Look, yeah, right.
Look, if I can't have my bandana, I've got to shave my mustache. I look like I just ate Mean Gene Okerlund. It's a bad look for me.
Him with a bandana and a mustache, that's just Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's true. He never minded trying to steal a little bit of the Hulkster's thunder. I mean, so yeah, he's a space cop, and the beginning of the movie, he's taken you through, I guess, every 10 years, or every 10 million years, who gives a fuck, they get, like, reconfigured or
You, like, re-sign your contract to continue being a finder.
Yeah.
And you get your finder's fee.
Oh, you'll get a finder's fee, all right. You're going to pay through the nose.
But, yeah, the whole thing is he's kind of becoming, like, it reminded me of, like, those scenes in all the X-Men movies where Wolverine has flashbacks of getting the adamantium skeleton. Because they're basically, like, drilling all these computer things into him. And he's explaining what's going on with all of this stuff. And what is obnoxious about this movie is you sit there and listen to him be like, so then another thing that got implanted into my body. And he's going through it all. And then it cuts to these two guys that are in this, like, alien control room. And they're kind of like the managers of all the finders, you know?
Right, they like, run the outpost where, in, like, the far, far quadrant where Earth is located.
Oh, you
that
mean
no one knows about.
You mean the Upright Citizens Brigade?
Yeah.
That's what they look like.
They
yeah.
look exactly like that.
But then those guys tell you literally the exact same thing that Jesse the Body Ventura just told us, which is like, and then you may have noticed that Abraxas was getting an operation, and that operation. And I was like, what? No, he just now, told us everything.
You see, Abraxas has a computer body. If you haven't put it together yet, his abdomen is nothing but clunky computer monitors tied together.
And they specify also, because this will be very important at the end of the film, that a finder is not allowed to have any kind of relationship outside of the job. You're married to the beat. Dude, you're married to the space beat.
Yeah, 10,000 years of the space beat off.
Seriously.
Man, I'm sick and tired of space jerking off.
Oh, my... Me and Secundus used to share an apartment. We would we'd hang out, have a couple of beers, watch the game, and then we'd retire to our own domiciles. We knew what was up.
So Secundus, by the way, is Sven Ole Thorsen, and it's a real, you know, it's a really sad story. Abraxas and Secundus were once partners in space crime,
mm-hmm.
or fighting space crime.
Fighting space crime.
Yeah, they found it.
But then Secundus became very disillusioned, and I guess became a bad guy or something. Not for nothing, it's kind of glossed over.
Well, he became obsessed with power.
Oh, of course.
And obtaining the anti-life equation.
Oh. Now, can we get into this for a second? Because there's someone in this room who knows what that is, and it's not me and probably not Eric.
No, definitely not me.
Somebody's getting all in a tizzy about the anti-life equation.
So we're going to have to go to resident comic book expert Steve Sadak to explain to us why this is pretty much copyright infringement.
No, it's absolutely. Jack Kirby, for all my fellow nerd friends, created the...
He's the Batman fella?
No, Jack Kirby is...
Who's the Batman guy?
That's Bob Kane.
Oh, Bob Kane.
Oh, I was going to say Finger.
Bob Finger?
Isn't that the guy that got the credit?
Bill Finger and Bob Kane created Batman.
I fingered the wrong man.
But sorry.
Jack Kirby did a bunch of... Mostly known for his Marvel work. He created the X-Men. He created the Hulk, et cetera, et cetera. But he also, for DC, created this thing like a new... called the New Gods, which is a pantheon of new gods, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, what year are we talking with this?
This is like the 70s, I want to say, or maybe even early 80s. And it was really popular, but kind of died off eventually. But, you know, what the concept of bad guy, the MacGuffin of the whole thing, was this thing of Darkseid was looking for the anti-life equation. And, oh, my God, here I come getting the anti-life equation. And this movie's like, you never heard of that, right? Yeah. And also they have things called mother boxes, which are like kind of basically proto cell phones, proto iPhones, I should say, that this movie rips off as well. They call them answer boxes.
Like, how are you getting away with this shit? Like, maybe that's why this movie was never actually released theatrically. They were like, you ripped us off so bad, you have to be direct to video.
Just lest you incur the wrath of DC Legal's department.
Well, although, I mean, I'm not sure, like, now, Kirby, was he one of the comic book guys that was constantly like ripped off?
Oh, famously.
So maybe it was like, well, we shouldn't stand up for that then, because now it'll look bad for us because we're ripping him off too.
Everybody, yeah. Well, no, exactly. That's kind of the thing. Is like it's, and I think DC at this point didn't give a shit because there's never been or will be a film of the New Gods. Yeah, so I think that they're like, fuck it.
You mean they're not going to try to wedge the New Gods into this Batman Superman movie? Because the rest of the gang's there.
They should, right?
This fucking big old pot of soup they're making with this movie.
Honestly, I think, I mean, you might see it tomorrow in the trades. Abraxas is probably going to make it in to this movie.
Thank God I was able to reprise my role as Abraxas in Batman versus Superman.
Oh, that Green Lantern movie tanked so bad that the only space cop they could get was Abraxas. They really fucked that franchise right up.
Green Lantern's in movie jail.
He really is.
Dude, Abraxas is getting out.
I'm pulling the old switcheroo on the Green Lantern.
Never thought I'd see the light of day. His rat tail's now like down to his ass.
He's all gaunt. Wait, but so what does this anti-life equation mean in the comics? Do you ever really find out?
You kind of find out. It's just like a way of like him like enslaving the world kind of a thing. Like it's all about like anti-life would mean slavery, which means... Like,
wait, is that the comic book?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's also exactly what that is in this movie.
But this movie, it sounds like he'll enter another dimension.
Yeah.
And like,
there's a little bit of that going on?
I guess he'll be like God of the next dimension, but the thing that the Upright Citizens Brigade is so worried about... is that once he enters the other dimension with the anti-life equation, several worlds will just explode or something. Like there'll be like this dimensional rift that'll potentially harm the fabric of the universe.
So all this we are telling you because this movie takes 90 minutes to tell you that and tells you that in another room while a record is playing in the room you're currently in. And you're like, wait, what? And so Abraxas goes to Toronto to fucking find Secundus. They find each other immediately, and they have a laser fight in the dark.
That's like the one thing that this movie has is a little bit of a pyrotechnics budget behind it, but it's kind of just like, we're going to bundle a bunch of Chinese fireworks and see what happens kind of pyrotechnics. It's not actual. Like, there's a couple of actual explosions in this movie, but for the most part, it's Chinatown fireworks.
Yeah, that and laser tag.
So the whole thing that's my favorite scene in the movie, So they both get to Earth, and it's again, it's very Terminator. Like, oh, where am I? Whatever. I'll go find the person I'm assigned to find, all while keeping in communication on their little speaker box thing.
Yeah.
What is it?
Answer box.
Oh, answer box. Pardon me. With the Upright Citizens Brigades telling Abraxas, like, where he can find Secundus and everything. So he's trying to get the 411 on Secundus, and they're chasing each other in the Ontario woods. And then we cut to this car pulls up, and it's a little bit of a Lover's Lane situation.
Ooh.
And this lady, the actress in the film, the lead actress, Jim Belushi's ex-wife, by the way, put that in your back pocket because that's going to come into play a little later. Jim Belushi's ex-wife rolls up with some dude, and he's trying to put the moves on her in the car, and she's not having it. And then Secundus decides to play the role of the Zodiac killer. And he fucking breaks the window of this car and pulls this dude out and murders him. And then this girl's running through the woods. We got a little bit of a chase scene here. And then in a real odd turn for this movie, because it's the one part that isn't explained through exposition before it happens.
Yeah.
Is Secundus just puts his hand up to this chick's belly and a blue light comes up. And you're hearing this computer talking and it's like, okay, computer insemination complete. She will give birth in 5 minutes. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Oh, man, what a scene.
Like, I didn't know this was about to happen.
And the answer box on Jesse Ventura is going off, is talking about how he, warning, he's with a birthing member of the species. So
That's the thing, is fucking Secundus is coming down to Earth looking to get that shit wet. Yep. And looking to get that shit wet as immediately.
Looking to get his palm wet.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because he doesn't...
All I have to do is put my hand up to her belly and then I will get her space pregnant.
That's what we used to do in space when we retired to our chambers.
Which is really unfortunate because, I mean, she doesn't really feel anything. But Secundus doesn't really appear to feel anything either. He's like, okay, it is complete now.
I mean, it's space rape. Let's put that right out there.
Oh, it's space rape for sure.
But no one orgasmed. Okay. Yeah. Either side.
No one enjoyed it, but like, it's just, it's really weird because she's just like, okay.
Well, that's the thing. She doesn't even really know what's going on. And then it's one of those weird science fiction things. And this happens in a couple of different sci-fi things, like the rapid pregnancy thing. And she's just like, wait, all of a sudden, like, oh, what's happening? But because this is so low budget, you don't see anything. It's just her walking around with a stomachache, like, ugh. And then, like, Ventura comes up, and he's just like, oh, crap. Secundus got to her. This is going to be bad.
Another Secundus Jr.
Man, that Secundus has so many kids. It's like old dirty bastard.
And for exposition's sake, now the reason why Secundus wants children is so that he could birth one that could be the co-mater.
Yep. Say again, please.
The co-mater.
Co-mater. This is a word.
I am looking for the co-mater.
You hear that word 90 times, and you also hear...
Are you Sarah Connor?
Secundus and Abraxas, both of their names used at least 300 times.
Well, that's
each.
The thing. That's like 90% of the script. It's like, hello, Abraxas.
Hello, Secundus. Have you seen the co-mater? No, I have not yet found the co-mater. Have you seen it, Secundus? No, Abraxas, I have not.
And because they're both aliens, by the way, like, you know, Jesse Ventura can't really have any snappy one-liners because he has to be stiff and rigid, so he can't be like, well, hey, asshole, get over here.
No, he's acting like a goddamn robot, and it's terrible. It's like, you ever want to see Jesse Ventura play C-3PO?
But then we have a movie for you.
But okay, now, by the way, what happens is Secundus can then put his answer box up to the co-mater, which would be half Secundus, half human.
Right.
And then the answer box will scan his head, and then it'll assess if he possesses the anti-life equation. I don't know if that means the co-mater knows it, or it's like something this answer box can isolate and ignite or whatever, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Boy, am I glad that I don't have the equation in me because I just can't do math.
Now the
I was never good with equations.
Solve for X. Secundus, you're not getting off this planet. I don't know what to tell you.
Another thing about the rapid pregnancy, why it's so stupid in this movie. So she's like, oh, what the fuck's happening to me? And like has a baby immediately. And The Upright Citizens Brigade is like, all right, Abraxas, you got to kill this lady or else the Comator is going to be born. A million people are going to die and it's a really bad scene.
Well, it's already born. Like, he gets there too late.
No, it's about to happen. He sees her and he's like, shit, what do I do here?
I can't terminate it.
I'm really bad around babies.
Yeah, UCB is telling him, man, like, blast that fucking kid. Blast that woman. Blast them all down.
I just don't know if I can pull the trigger. I feel like if I pull the trigger, we might not have a movie.
Well, that's the thing is, Secundus is like, see you later, Abraxas. See you in the second act. Because you're not going to do shit to that baby.
But then it's just a weird thing where they're like...
It's like Juno.
It is like the film Juno in a lot of ways. Shockingly, this movie is void of any hilarious cheeseburger phones. But I guess we'll have to live with it. That fucking movie.
But that's the thing. The birth happens immediately, and Abraxas is like, all right, I'll see you in 5 years. Talk to you later. And leaves.
Yeah.
And Secundus goes off to where he goes to.
And then we just have this weird domestic drama for a little bit where she goes to, like, register the baby at, like, City Hall or something like that. And this guy's like, wait, so how did you get this baby? Where's the father? And she's like, I'm the mother. And he's like, uh-huh. And who's the father? I'm the mother.
Did you ever see Predator? He's the guy who played the Russian general for a second. What else?
Oh, wow. You're married to Sven Ole Thorsen?
Yeah.
No, he's just the father. So she like registers the baby and his name's Tommy or some shit. Mm-hmm.
Thomas.
Oh, pardon me. We flash forward 5 years, and now she's narrating the movie.
Yeah,
there's a lot of slippery slopes with the many narrators we have in this film.
The voiceover, it's a baton, man. They just keep on running around.
Secundus is running the show for a while.
Secundus has a way too long narration of this movie, and it's just like, I'm Secundus, and I need to find the Comator.
Especially because Sven Ole Thorsen's command of English is way worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger's.
Oh, yeah. You can barely understand a word he says.
So she's just like, so I decided to raise Tommy on my own, and I love him, and he's great, and it's 5 years later, by the way, and you're like, uh-huh. And he just, you know, he's a great kid. Doesn't talk, though. He's 5 years old, and he's mute. Well, let's start the movie again. And they're like playing in the snow. It's clearly just the same field we just had the big Abraxas Secundus shootout in. It's the same farm in Ontario we're filming.
And then we cut back to the UCB. They haul Abraxas into their office and they're like, listen, Abraxas, this is the deal. Secundus broke out of jail again. He's like, ah, fuck, come on, seriously? Like, I just put that guy away 5 years ago, which in Abraxas time is like 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm 90,000 years old.
And also, to let you guys know, the Upright Citizens Brigade does not, under no circumstances are they allowed to execute a finder or a former finder.
Right.
Capital punishment. Totally cool, but just not for cops ever.
Well, it's like those bullshit diplomat license plates you see around here, you know, especially around the UN. Like, they can not get parking tickets, and you can, like, run people over while drunk driving, and you don't get in trouble. Uh-huh. Like, it's the worst system ever.
So that's why I key their cars, man.
You have
every
to do
single
it.
One
you
of
have
them.
To teach them a lesson somehow. They're just, out of control.
I just thought of a drop ball in this movie. It would make this movie a lot more, you know, followable, because I don't know what the fuck the word comator is, or comater, or comater. Why not just call that kid the keeper? Because then it's just the finders finding the finder v. keeper.
No, because then, here's why. They were too tempted that then Jesse Ventura would have a line, finders keepers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great for the trailer, but because he's a robot, he can't have clever action lines.
What would be great, too, is if someone could get the jump on Jesse Ventura, and he'll be a trapper.
Oh, yeah, that's
the trappers now get the keepers.
Hey, trapper keeper, like Lisa Frank making trapper keepers.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Secundus breaks out of Space Arkham or whatever. Don't worry, we don't see any of that.
I didn't even know he broke out of jail. I was like, why did they wait 5 years to pick this movie back up? Apparently, he was incarcerated, and I just missed that entire thing.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, UCB Space Station is like 3 feet by 3 feet. You know, it's like
you thought the Satellite of Love set was shitty. Look at this fucking thing. It's a refrigerator they're acting in.
It's like the cockpit from Plan 9 from Outer Space.
It's a curtain and two wooden chairs.
Pretty much.
And one guy is pro Abraxas, the other guy's not pro Abraxas because Abraxas didn't abort this kid because Abraxas is pro life.
Yeah.
Once Secundus put his hand on that woman's stomach, that was a life.
Life begins at touch.
Life begins at weird blue lighted palm thing.
Mm-hmm.
Space rape.
I don't care if she was space raped. I mean, a lot of good things have come out of bad situations, is all I'm saying.
I don't care that her and Secundus were brother and sister.
Not even, exactly.
Space God finds a way.
I don't care how painful and how life-threatening giving birth and being pregnant in 3 minutes is. I will not terminate this pregnancy.
You could grow up to be a finder one day, maybe.
Give me 10,000 years.
So he's sent back to Earth to chase after him.
Because they know Secundus is coming for him. It's the idea. It's like, now who's going to find John Connor first, Secundus or Abraxas?
So the fact that they didn't execute Secundus means now Secundus can easily get to Earth, find this kid, put the answer box up to his head, and potentially destroy this universe. Mm. Basically, more or less.
That's in a nutshell what we're dealing with here. Yeah, that's a good summary.
The funny thing is, so like they make this thing because it's one of the best like workarounds to having absolutely no money in your movie. They're like, all right, Abraxas. Secundus just hijacked this like weapons cargo hold. So we're going to give, and he's got the best weapons in the world. We're going to give you the best weapons in the world, which you're not going to see. Then you're going to go into this wormhole, and they put him in this wormhole, and they're like, oh shit, they crossed the streams. Now none of them have any weapons.
Now none of them have any weapons, but somehow you held on to that World's Gym t-shirt. Also, because we get a little bit of Abraxas narration right here, first of all, when he's explaining, so then Secundus broke out of jail, and the thing you need to remember, audience, about Secundus is that he's an uncontrollable malcontent, which is what he calls him, which is awesome. And then they're explaining the transportation system, and this is what makes no sense, because he's an alien and he doesn't know anything about Earth, but he goes, yeah, it's kind of like an intergalactic subway system. I'm like, where the fuck did you get that from? I mean, it's true, but where did you get that from? You can't call someone a butthead, but you know what a subway is.
Spent some time in New York back in the 80s.
Wearing my trench coat and going to the movies.
Before Disney got a hold of it.
Oh, that Giuliani. He really makes my face red when I think about it.
I would have voted for Dinkins 4 terms in a row. Keep those prostitutes coming.
So the best thing is, in Terminator, we have that cool effect where when you transport down to Earth or transport back in the past, they have that like, cool, everything burns, you're naked, you get some nice butt shot. For some reason, they go into water screaming their heads off.
This is great. Like, Svenoldi Thorsen doesn't sell it as well as Ventura does. Like, Ventura getting out of this pond or whatever it is just like, and he looks like when Charlie Sheen falls down in Platoon, or is it Willem Dafoe falls
Dafoe
down?
When he puts his arms up.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, but just jumping out of water, and he's like,
he looks like a weird porpoise, like because of his fucking bulbous head. And
you know what he looks like?
And wet.
In the first X-Men movie, when Bruce Davidson like kind of turns into a mutant and then just jelly collapses, he looks like that kind of. But it's just Jesse Ventura wet, which is amazing. There's no special effects. It's just him slow-mo jumping out of a pool. I love it.
I missed Christmas because I was at Damien Lee's pool.
Thank goodness it was a heated pool, though. It gets really cold in Ontario sometimes. So the movie has to take a little bit of a road pit stop here. And this is where things get really interesting. So
you know, we get some narration for the mother about, you know, like we said, like the kid's a mute, but he's really nice and he's a loving kid. But he's been having some problems at school.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to a parent-principal conference. And on one end of the table is the mother of little Tommy. And on the other end of this table is Principal Rick Latimer, as portrayed by Jim Belushi in the film The Principal, is also portrayed by Jim Belushi in this movie, Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe.
He's reapprising his fucking role.
Like, on what fucking planet was this a good idea?
It's so distracting and unnecessary.
Because you're just watching this movie with a bunch of nobodies, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, well, here's the biggest nobody of them all, Jim Belushi. What's he doing in here?
Adding some star power, man.
And, you know, it's a weird, like, he was married to this woman at the time, and she was in a bunch of his movies. She's in Taking Care of Business, K-9.
Until he kicked her out of the car for giving him directions.
Yeah, I don't need your GPS telling me where to go, loudmouth.
It's difficult, because I was just about to do it. It's difficult to try and do a Jim Belushi right after after a Ventura.
It's tough. It's, yeah, our bad impressions are mixing together.
Yeah, no one on this show is Mel Blanc, is all I'm going to say.
But so it's weird. So she's like, so what are you saying is wrong with my kid? And he's like, well, the thing about it is he gets bullied all the time because he doesn't say nothing like a dweeb.
Because, yeah, it's great. He's a real asshole in this scene, because his thing is like, you know, this is a normal school for normal kids. Keep your mute idiot son out of it.
Also, how did you go from being the principal of a high school in, like, a tough California neighborhood to wherever the shit Canada this is supposed to be? What kind of a transfer is that?
He fucked up that bad after the principal happened.
Well, he kills 6 kids in that movie.
That's
so
what it is.
Yeah, I gotta go north or else I'm gonna get the chair.
It stunk because I was heralded as a hero for approximately 72 hours and then they kicked me out of the state.
Gave the United States the 23 skidoo.
And it's great because she's like, well, did you ever consider telling these kids to stop making fun of my son? And he's like, as a matter of fact, I have not. And you're like, what? This isn't the Rick Latimer I know and love. Rick Latimer would be on the side of this kid telling these other kids to stop fucking with him.
Exactly. Teaching him how to read or whatever else he does in The Principal.
Right. No, a poem about being a pigeon or something.
It's so stupid that
why don't you write a poem about how mute and stupid you are?
And then maybe you can read it out loud to the class and talk like a normal person and not a loser.
You know what? I mollycoddled everyone for a long time. You know what I got? Victor Duncan almost cutting my throat. So
I'll tell you what, Thomas. After school, you and me will watch that Werner Herzog picture, The Land of Silence and Darkness.
I'll show you what a real mute looks like. And, you know, they can't see either. You got 20/20 vision, Tommy.
It's so ridiculous. It's so useless. And, like, having a character from another movie, like, it's just going to distract you. It's just going to take, like, why doesn't Terry Garr from fucking Mr. Mom show up? Or, like, maybe Rick Zielinski is there creating a fucking, helping Abraxas out. It's like, what movie am I watching?
Hey, Abraxas, here's my shrink ray. It just doesn't make any sense. And now you're sitting there like, okay, these two movies exist in the same universe. Yeah.
That means while The Principal is happening, during the events of The Principal, Abraxas is out there finding things.
Gonna hunt down Secundus. Sure hope he doesn't go to this downtrodden California high school. I don't need to deal with street toughs.
You know what? I'll be the first to say it. I prefer this to the Marvel universe.
Oh, yeah, this shared universe.
Dude, man, you know, whatever. What, you know, Winter Soldier, this and that. Abraxas and The Principal. That's all I need. And speaking of which, because of that, I was waiting at the end credits of this movie, waiting for one of those Marvel scenes.
A little teaser to come out.
I thought Clark Gregg was going to show up. Yeah,
where's Sam Jackson with his stinger?
Yeah.
You're goddamn right. We're just trained to wait for stingers now, by the way, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to leave a movie theater. You're like, oh, wait, I'm the asshole because the credits are coming up and trying to leave?
Which is kind of fantastic because now, like, it's forcing us to revert back to politely watching the credits like everybody should, which is sort of great. So you'd think then, okay, maybe
the school matters. Maybe school matters for, like, That's the only time we're in the school except for the ending.
I'm crossing my fingers hoping for Secundus to come in and just blow him away. Does not happen. Like, it's just like, all right, end of parent-teacher conference. See you next month. And he's just out of that movie.
Oh, excuse me. I thought you were Secundus. Now you're just a heaping pile of blood.
Back of the line, Secundus. It's me, Rick Latimer. What is a Latimer?
Well, it's kind of like a comator.
I'll show you the anti-life equation. And he kills
See,
him.
That's what should have happened. He comes in. He goes up to Belushi, takes him by the head, and he's like, are you the comator? And then his head does a scanners, and then we can officially end the Rick Latimer saga.
That's what it was. You went out on top, I guess.
You thought it ended with, nah, he's the principal, man. Yeah. And then he drove away on his motorcycle. No. It ends with a fucking 10,000-year-old alien blowing his head off.
Well, it's like Bill Murray only wanted to do Ghostbusters 3 if he could die in it. It's like, all right, I'll do it, Braxis, but I got to get my head blown off.
You got to kill this classic character.
Oh, what's that, Secundus? You want to solve an equation? Well, I'm a principal. Oh, not that kind of equation. Oh, no, not the anti-life equation.
It's so ridiculous.
But then after that scene is where we get the hilarious Secundus narration, and now he's driving the movie.
It's so ridiculous.
And it's just so dumb because he's like, so I escaped from the jail, and then I was walking around for a little bit. I got lost in the Ontario woods for a fashion.
I found this movie, and I decided to start narrating it.
Oh, to the pure, no one is narrating this movie. I guess I'll pick up the baton and run with it.
I was looking for a bathroom, and then I accidentally found a voiceover studio. Someone left the tape on. These are my thoughts and feelings.
They say Braxis is a finder, but I found his movie. It wasn't even here.
Let's do an audiobook while I'm at it. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
So they find each other, and we have another boring fight in the woods. But what it turns into is Secundus, like, interrupts this family camping trip.
Oh, man, with this yuppie scum.
Oh, it's great. And he just really lays waste to this family and steals their car.
Oh, by the way, did you guys notice? Like, okay, so This stupid family that's out camping, like, the father does not want to give his keys over to Secundus, obvious reasons.
Sure.
So, oh, wait, this guy's going to, like, beat me up for my keys, so I'm just going to throw them in the campfire.
Right. Classic mistake.
Yeah, because then he just makes his fucking shitty kid dig it out with a stick.
Great because, like, Secundus doesn't blink, because he does it, and he's like, pick them out of the fire. I was like, well, that didn't work.
Secundus is not going to pick it out of the fire. He's going to make you pick it out of the fire. But did you guys see what the keychain was?
Yes.
It said, are we having fun yet?
Oh, shit. Yep.
You know, what was it? The classic party down line.
Are we having fun yet?
Oh, so
and no, we're not, because we're watching Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe.
So is that the third part of this movie universe? Is the Party Down?
Yeah, it turns out it's a prequel to Party Down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
That would make about as much logical sense as going from the principal to Abraxas and then back to Party Down.
While they're catering Steve Guttenberg's party, Abraxas is out there trying to find something. Something's not right here.
Sorry to interrupt your party, Steve Guttenberg. You caterers are real hilarious, but I'm looking for Secundus. Did he get invited to your Hollywood Hills party or what?
Oh, no? Is he in the porno episode?
This finger food is amazing.
Just like,
hey, it's Secundus. Get him.
I love these canapes. They're wonderful.
The only great thing to come out of this scene is it features Jesse Ventura riding on the roof of this car because he's trying to chase him down.
Jesse the Body Ventura and Dummy the Body Dummy, which is just this like mannequin they strapped to this roof. It's ridiculous.
But God bless him, it's a mannequin with a rat tail.
Yeah, they got that down.
Man. And it hilariously just slides right off the car, too. It's great.
He was a professional wrestler. He was a Navy SEAL. He can't hold on to a car roof for like
exactly.
5 seconds.
What are you doing?
Oh, no, that shit's fake.
What are you
fake.
Doing?
You think
Russell!
You think it's all Hollywood fun and games. You can't hold on to the roof of a car. The velocity alone will toss it into the next state.
It's all fun and games till someone breaks a collarbone portraying Abraxas.
Here's something.
Yes.
Just when we're talking about Sven Ole Thorsen, my favorite part of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking a little bit about comic book movies.
Ooh.
Hashtag Thorsen as Apocalypse. Because they're doing that new X-Men movie. After Days of Future Past, it's Apocalypse. Sven Ole Thorsen would make an awesome Apocalypse.
But here's the thing with that, though. Does Apocalypse have lines to say?
Yeah.
Because then you're hiring somebody and to dub over
also,
all of Apocalypse lines.
Is Apocalypse 75 years old?
No.
Because it's been a while since Abraxas. And yeah, he was looking a little older there.
Yeah, you're thinking of 1990 Sven Ole Thorsen.
Or also, you know, 2002 Sven Ole Thorsen, right? Like Gladiator.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. He played...
But still, that was 12 years ago. Well, Gladiator was like 2000.
He's 65 years old. I mean, it's... Awesome. You know, he's not going to fight anybody, man. He just has to wear the suit.
I guess I'm alone. Well, the computers will do all the fighting.
Exactly.
Just get James Spader again to do the voice. It'll
yeah, exactly.
Fine.
Maybe get Ben Kingsley in there, do the voice.
Ooh.
So he finally gets... He gets the confidence of, like, the mother. They encounter each other, and, you know, it's like, okay... I believe what you're saying because she remembers him from the last time because she remembers not getting her brains blown out. So he's like, I've come back to take care of Secundus once and for all, and I may need your help. First thing in tracking down Secundus, I've got my VD. And they're like, wait, what? And he's like, well, I got to use my VD to track down Secundus. And it's totally supposed to be this fucking, you know, STD joke. And he's like, no. Sorry, I don't know why you're acting all awkward. It's my vibration detector. You see, Secundus gives off a certain kind of vibration, and I'll be able to track him down. And they're just all like, whew, all right, so he doesn't have the clap or whatever.
Yeah,
going
by
on.
The way, one of the lines was, my box has VD.
Yes.
My box is riddled with VD.
I have tracker crabs that'll go after Secundus. They can find him anywhere.
Just go, my minions, and track Secundus.
Just because I look like a man doesn't mean I am. It's my box.
Space box.
I'm just playing with my space box.
It's actually Secundus, kind of...
Secundus had his bomb. I had a space box to fiddle with.
It's kind of around this time that we see the rat tail like actually makes its first appearance into the film.
It becomes sentient.
Yeah. Oh no, my rat tail's alive. This is no good.
Well, the weird thing is she's like...
It gets its own badge.
They have a Sarah Connor Terminator scene where she's like, I can't believe this shit, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's got to convince her. And she has this bullshit idea of like, I thought that thing was a dream, you know what I mean? Nobody could, you know, I was starting to doubt that was real. I was like, no, how could you ever doubt that was real? You have a fucking kid.
You gave birth in 5 minutes.
Do you remember being pregnant for 9 months? Absolutely not.
Yeah, what? It's just... Come on, lady.
Yeah, it's just that...
It's me and my imaginary son.
This shit happened.
So Secundus is in town just ripping through citizens. Man, he is just going on this killing spree, trying to find the Comator.
Oh, it's total Are You the Keymaster? Oh, like every single person.
By the way, and just to pad out the runtime, we actually get like... a whole new set of characters that we deal with for way too long. We get these two cops.
Oh, Jesus, man.
H.
Dumb and Dumber.
You know, the sheriff of this town is probably the best actor in this movie, I thought, because he's just like, he seems more naturalistic. Everyone else is like struggling with the English language.
One way or another.
The ones that are American born and the ones that aren't are equally struggling with the English language.
It's just the sheriff talking to the deputy.
Right.
About like how we're, up here in the country, we're peacekeepers and you're used to the city and, you know, you got to get that out of your head.
Yeah, like the little deputy's a real like spitfire, like, come on, I want to go shoot somebody. Like there's a dude who we're at this diner and the guy gets out of the car and he's like, now who parked this tractor here? This is unbelievable. And I was like, I thought this movie was about one alien chasing another alien.
No, yep. Now it's about parking tickets.
And yeah, and he goes to the diner. He's like, who parked that shitbox tractor out here? And this like 7 foot guy stands up and he's like, do you have a problem with the way I parked my tractor? And the sheriff has to be like, let him alone, little kid. You know, he does this once a week. He comes down from his farm to have breakfast or whatever. And he's like, no, that's an illegal parking spot.
Oh, wait, what's this, a recording studio? Hey, now I can narrate the movie.
It was my first day on the job in this sleepy Ontario town.
But it's all those diner shenanigans are distracted by Sven Ole Thorsen just launching this dude off of a motorcycle.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Is it sweet. That's a good action scene. Like, this guy just pulls up, and he fucking clotheslines this dude off this thing.
He kind of fucking tears through this whole town and just, like, for whatever reason, like, it's kind of hilarious because this Sven Ole Thorsen can't remember who he impregnated. It was just, it was 5 years ago. It was the one I was a little drunk, honestly. I had just broken out of prison.
I found
a pack of Red Dog beer and I drank it.
I put my palm a lot of places that night.
Trees, women, cars. My palm was everywhere.
There's a half Secundus half dog out there.
But what I love, though, is he's going around looking for this co-mater, like his son. He knows it's only been 5 Earth years.
Yeah.
Why are you going up to adults? Just go to all the kids.
Well, the thing is, I think he doesn't know how Earth works because he's like 12,000 years old. So, he has no idea. Although, they just happen to look identical to how you look.
Yeah, exactly. That's convenient. Entirely. Yeah, even when we start to bleed in this movie, we don't get any space blood, which I think is kind of bullshit. Like
green, blue, purple, like anything.
Although, doesn't he, like, I don't know if he grabs the main woman or someone else, but I think Secundus does have a moment where he's just like, I will crush your skull and brains. Like, he's like threatening to crush people's skulls.
Well, because he's like half alien police officer, half Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of skull crush attempts. I won't say skull crushes. There's only a few of those. Yeah. There's way more attempted skull crushings in this movie.
Threats of skull crush.
So while all this diner stuff's going on, we have an amazing scene where we learn like what Tommy's deal is. And the whole thing is because he has this anti-life equation inside him. He's got magic powers of varying degrees and everything.
We also get a little scene of him fucking up a bully, a bully finally pushes him too far in the bathroom.
Right. Well, he's getting bullied by this one kid. And he makes the kid piss his pants, and which is like some sweet revenge. And then we immediately cut to this bathroom where he's like, hey, I don't know how you did it, but I think you made me piss my pants. And he starts,
and I'm not terrified. I'm just going to pull you some more.
Yeah. So he starts pushing him again. And then this kid, like, Kerry Whites this dude into a bathroom stall and gives him a psychic wedgie, psychic swirly or something in there.
Like, yeah.
Of course, because he bashes through the door of the stall and you hear the toilet flush because that's this movie.
Oh, he is certainly my son giving swirlies in grade school.
The co-mater, Secundus Jr., has got the metachlorians up to the wazoo. Makes him reach out with the force.
The powers kind of come to nothing. Like, he has a little bit of stuff to do in the final fight scene, but
that's it. There's no, and also until the very last shot of this movie, this kid continues to be mute.
Oh, so, shit. Spoiler alert. Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry.
You have, like, no idea what he's thinking. You know,
yeah.
Maybe he wants to go with Secundus. Like, who even knows?
My dad, my real dad. Fuck you, Abraxas. My real dad's coming.
Yeah, fuck you, Uncle Abraxas.
Speaking of Uncle...
But Tommy, we were going to play catch.
Speaking of Uncle Abraxas, let's get to the weirdest scene in the movie.
Right, so what happens is...
This movie's got a saggy middle, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like, much like Jesse the Body Ventura's gut in this movie. So what happens is there's another Abraxas Secundus standoff, and you know, this time Secundus got the better of me and impaled me with a broken floor lamp after he threw me on some exploding barbed wire when he jumped off the top turnbuckle.
Luckily, it barely scratched his fucking monitor body or whatever, computer body.
The weirdest thing was the Iron Sheik was supposed to be the special guest referee, but then he turned on me too. I really didn't see that coming. I thought the Sheik would take his responsibilities more truthfully.
After a bunch of folding chairs to the head, the answer box is like, yeah, I could fix you. Yeah, you're fine. All right, let's go on with the movie on the answer box.
Like, so he's got this hole in his gut, and you know, I gotta take a little bit of time to recuperate. So he's hanging with this lady, like, at their house, you know, and all of a sudden there's just this scene where Ventura's just in this bed. He's all tucked in.
He's got no shirt on.
He's got his shirt off. It is clean off. And you can see that like belly wound and everything. And then the kid comes in and he's like, oh, hey there. I didn't see you come in. Well, since you're here, you want to come sit up with me and I'll tell you a story about two men. And you're like, wait, what?
They were partners once. One was named Abraxas. That's me. And the other one's named Secundus.
They were both the bravest Transformer cops in all the land.
It's also even weirder because actually I wrote it down. He introduces this as a story about two men who were partners.
Yeah.
And what once was is no longer.
You know what's the weirdest part of that, this scene? Like, all right, so the little kid comes in and he's like, hey, want to sit up with Uncle Abraxas?
And I just got done putting coconut oil all over my pecs.
And it's really uncomfortable. And he's the most weird, uncomfortable part of this thing is that there is a brass bed frame in the back of it. Because that is a sex bed frame. Like, you can't just... That's not an old lady sleeping. That's
something to hold on to.
You want to go ahead and handcuff Uncle Abraxas?
Exactly.
No. Don't worry, Timmy. They're furry little pink handcuffs.
Hey, Timmy, you ever see the film Something Wild? It's an Earth movie that came out 2 years ago.
Our safe word is co-mater.
I guess the safe word is the anti-life equation. Better tell me.
Pretty convenient your ma installed some mirrors on the ceiling above this bed. This story's gonna get real fun.
Like, what does that say about her?
It's so weird. And he just sits on, and like they're just sitting in bed together, and he's talking to him, and he's just telling him, oh, I used to love Secundus once, but that's all over now.
He went to the dark side. You could say he decided to become a Sith, because since we're stealing words we don't own.
I mean, shit, it's not like Lucas is ever going to make those prequels anyway. It's 1990. That shit's a long ways off.
And man, this kid has never looked more thankful. There's a part where the mom's just like, Tommy, where are you? And yeah. He's like, oh, fucking thank God.
I would call out, but I'm a mute because I'm fucking half Secundus.
You know, the big bonus for me and the big boner for you, no one can hear you scream. Because you can't do it.
Oh, God.
And the mother comes in and she's like, what are you two up to? And she's totally fine with it. This big hulking creep.
I was telling him about the legends of the Sith.
There's another awesome part. Like, he's staying at this house for a really long time. You know, and
he's loading the dishwasher. He's there's
one part when they were on the drive to the house where he notices that like the dumb little sheriff's deputy kind of has a thing for her. And he asks her, he's like, so is he a mating partner of yours? And she's like, what? No, he's just an idiot. And he's like, oh, that's cool. So then they're hanging out and like he's going to get up to like, I don't know, take a shit, whatever he's doing.
Take a big old fat Abraxas shit.
Space dump.
I had a lot of Abraxas brand chili before I left.
Oh my God, Abraxas, there's a bunch of diamonds in my toilet.
That's how I go. It's pretty painful.
I literally shit diamond. You're telling me these are worth something to you?
You humans don't convert carbon energy into priceless diamonds.
So he's getting up to do whatever, and he opens the bathroom door, and she's just getting out of the shower, and there's the greatest, like, Jesse Ventura, like, mouth agape, like, we don't have those on the other end of the galaxy.
Hamana, hamana, hamana.
Yes, say that like a robot. Wow, I got myself a pretty stiff space boner.
Oh, no, my space crabs aren't here to protect me.
I got such a bad space boner, my arm's glowing pretty bad.
Oh, it's red and then blue and then green.
Wow, I never seen that shade of cyan before.
I'm from the planet of the rosy palms.
That would be great. Is if he's like, well, I guess I better be going to bed. And then like he goes down the hallway and you just see this light following.
Light in the dark hallway.
I'm asleep.
Nothing.
I'm definitely asleep. That's just my nightlight.
Abraxas, what are you doing in there?
So nothing. While all this like sexcapade stuff is happening, we get treated to a scene where Secundus can't get served at a restaurant. Like he goes in, he sits down, and these waitresses are like, that table is all yours. And you can just see him sitting there like, I just want to get a tuna salad sandwich. None of them will agree to serve me because I creep them out.
I thought this world was more progressive than that.
So one of the women come over and show him the menu, and it's like, oh, you know, you order something from here, and she points to like the breakfast section. He's like, good, I will have that. Bring me that. Like, oh, what did that creep order? The whole breakfast section. So they bring him everything on the menu for breakfast. He eats it all. They bring him the bill, and he's like, I didn't order this. She's like, oh, everyone gets one. And he's like, okay. And he just eats it and walks out.
That was written by me, that scene. And usually Jesse, even on his off days, would come and watch me work. And we did that 20 times because Jesse kept laughing. It's so funny.
Do you know the kind of dump you take after you eat 20 pieces of paper? I didn't know at the time, but I probably should have stopped swallowing after Damien called cut. But I refused because I am method, and I will swallow that paper every time.
Oh, did it turn into a diamond?
Yeah.
It's just silly. I mean, also, the weird thing about, just to kind of Pulp Fiction a bit, at the end of that scene where, you know, he sees her in the bathroom, he gets all hot and bothered, and she comes in and she's kind of turned on by this hulking creep that may or may not have molested her son.
I mean, have you seen that rat tail?
And
it's glistening in the moonlight at this point.
It's a really bad cut because she goes in and is like, hey, and it cuts, and you don't know if they had sex. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, we had sex that night.
Guaranteed. That would have been in my director's cut. I would have put in a sex scene between this lady and Abraxas.
Oh, man.
Jim Belushi was off camera the entire time, totally spoiling the mood.
She had sunburn all over her stomach. I'll tell you that the next day.
That's weird, right? What is this racist policy about pulling out?
I better flick off the light switch before it's too late. We're going to be dealing with two comators next thing you know. Then I'm going to really be up Schitt's Creek. I can't pay for that.
Oh, my God. The Braxis spinoff sitcom called My Three Comators.
Not one of them can say a fucking word.
And if the show ever goes off the air, we'll just end the galaxy. Anti-life equation.
I mean, I guess at this point, Secundus, I apologize with all the bullshit words in my brain right now. Secundus gets in his head. He's like, well, I've been killing all these adults for no good reason. He goes into a strip club.
Working.
He kills a bunch of people in there, and it's like, oh, you know, I should probably go for a kid. So he goes into the grade school that Tommy attends. Tommy's also the janitor.
Clock him in.
And he goes into a classroom. He's like, if someone doesn't bring me the comator in 10 minutes, I'm going to kill all these children. And I'm like, all right, maybe we're getting a half star here. Let's see where this goes.
On that note of Tommy working at the school, I imagine that's like Jim Belushi's like punishment for him. Like, oh, yeah, you don't want to say nothing? Well, how about this? Now you're the janitor. You don't get to learn multiplication tables until you mop up that vomit.
And you know you don't want to be the janitor? Just say so.
Yeah.
No, you can't. Well, then I guess you're going to clean my
shit. Tommy, I'm all ears.
Yeah, that's him like saying like, okay, this is the type of job you're going to get as a mute, you know? Like,
yeah, really.
Which is, you know, terrible.
And somehow Abraxas gets hip to it, and he's like, oh, fuck, the school.
Should have thought of that in the first place. Wow, both me and Secundus simultaneously dropped the ball on that one.
And also at this point in the movie, like, speaking of, you know, a second act rat tail nobody wanted. I didn't need the third act comic relief that comes out of nowhere, which is the answer box starts getting into the act.
The answer box starts getting mouthy to Ventura.
And it's just like, he's like, hey, shut up over there, answer box. And it's like, where is this coming from and where is it going?
He's like, you don't get to say anything unless I tell you to say something. Understand?
And it's like, fuck you. Like, it's voiced by Doris Grau, you know? And he's just getting lip from this thing, which is in when you're acting it out, it's Ventura just arguing with his forearm, which is where the device is located on him. Also, speaking of comic relief, though, these cops are all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a thing where, like, Secundus comes up to him on the street, and they shoot him a couple times or something.
With, like, an Uzi. The little mousy guy takes out an Uzi.
He's like, oh, you're not scared by this handgun? How about this? And he pulls this Uzi out and blows this dude away on this, like, quiet, sleepy town street. And then, you know, Secundus gets back up and they scream and run away.
But then Secundus gets the machine. It's my favorite part of the movie. Secundus is like, interesting weapon, and like kills 30 people. Like, he just shoots.
We don't have this where I come from. Just laying waste to all these people. It's one of the first few times that a car blows up in this movie.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, it's not half bad.
He shoots like the windshield and it lights up like a Roman candle.
Taking a note from Charles Bronson movies, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we're kind of getting to the last act where it's just Abraxas v. Secundus yet again. They fight like four times.
And the fight scenes get slower and slower.
They really, it is like a wrestling match where they're just getting tired in the ring. There's a lot of holding on each other.
Let's just breathe here for a second, Secundus.
Oh, yeah, I got you in a headlock for 20 minutes.
Wait, you just stand there. I'll go work the crowd a little bit. I'll get them pumped back up. Because no wrestling match can ever be under 25 minutes. Heaven the fuck forbid.
Exactly. For whatever reason, like the last 4 months, I've seen like 3 wrestling matches, which is like 100% more wrestling matches than I've seen in 12 years. They're all 22 minutes long. Like, what are we doing?
It's insane. You and I were watching a bootleg WrestleMania stream, and we were like, what are we doing?
It just it goes on forever. Like, just get to it. We're in the age of YouTube, baby. 5 minutes or less.
So what finally happens is Secundus finally gets this kid. He actually gets the kid and runs off with him. To where else? An abandoned factory.
Not unlike the Terminator.
Exactly right.
Or one or two.
I think that was actually a working factory that they... Then the workers fled from once they saw all the shit. That
well,
was
T2 had not come out yet, right?
No,
T2
is
92.
That's 2 years later, yeah. Right. You're right.
If it had, we would have definitely had molten fucking lava in this
finale.
Yeah. You're actually, you know, thinking more about Terminator 1, you're right, because that did involve a time traveler getting the woman knocked up. This is, you're right.
Yeah, it's all there.
This is very Terminator 1, yeah.
Because Terminator was 6 years before this movie. So it's definitely...
We know what we're doing here.
So we're fighting in this factory. And all sorts of Chinese fireworks are going off.
And there's an awesome pop song.
Oh, it's just... What's the lyric to it?
I am power or something like.
And it's so inappropriate for what we're watching. Because it's like this dark, gritty factory. They're fighting each other. And it's a lot of hilarious... out of focus close-ups of both of their faces, you know, with like a big meaty hand going in front of the camera.
And this woman who's been like a main character is completely left out of the third act of this movie.
Yeah, you know, it's just the two of them and the kid.
She is no Sarah Connor.
No, and the kid at this point, like, he's kind of realized, like, okay, I can kind of control these powers a little bit. So all the pyrotechnics that are happening, it's this kid like being scared of Sven Ole Thorsen and like making explosions happen all around of him because he's like freaking out kind of a thing. And they just have this big old bear fight. Sven Ole Thorsen throws a chair at this kid and the kid sets the chair on fire, which is kind of funny, which then starts like a fire in the whole factory. You know, we're really just burning down the house here for this third act.
And, you know, finally Abraxas gets the better of Secundus and he's holding him and he's like,
Sakana's like, you can't kill me. It's against your programming. Remember, you're gonna lose your job because for whatever reason, I can murder 1,000 people, but you killing me is out of the question.
You know what, Secundus? I don't give a damn that you have those diplomat license plates. I'm going to take your life right here.
I mean, and I am against the death penalty as the next guy. However, yeah. If an alien from another world can bring about the end of the Earth and all you have to do is take this fucker out...
You're killing that guy.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, so, just end him.
And just do it.
We didn't even mention one of Secundus's more horrific crimes on this planet is... He finds some dude and he just blows his brains apart. He blows his head off with the answer box. Yeah, so there were a couple head explosions. Just wanted to mention it.
Well, because, you know, it's a Canadian movie, just like Scanners. We love blowing heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to do it. So he in the worst or the best example of terrible special effects, I should say, he blows up Secundus's head by crushing him. But it's this weird, like, the screen goes dark and you kind of see, like, a bunch of what looks like galaxies popping out at the screen. Uh-huh. They're supposed to be, like, really lame explosions. They look like 1995 screensavers.
Well, actually, what we did was we just took the shot from Star Wars when the Death Star explodes and put it on Secundus's face. Lucas can't touch us. And I don't care. Lucas or Jack Kirby.
We changed it enough. We put some toasters with wings flying out of there, and it was fine.
You know, in the original script, Secundus was supposed to be murdered by a bunch of colorful tubes, but it turned out it proved too expensive, and we had to cut it, so I just crushed his skull with my bare hands.
Luckily, Sven Ole Thorsen's got a twin brother. I actually killed him.
He's got a real crushable head. It was like a stale watermelon.
You'd think that thing was solid, but it wasn't. I killed that big Dane right there, right then and there.
It popped like a child's water balloon. It took me really aback.
God.
So he's dead. And they're like, then like the Upright Citizens Brigade calls up and they're like, hey, you were right the whole time. That took 2 seconds. And now the universe is totally not in danger anymore.
Like, and what would be the punishment? Would he like get on Abraxas probation? Like what?
What are you going to do? Take my chaser badge?
Oh, shit. They're going to fuck finder with my badge. Pension.
Oh, finders. Pardon me.
Finder badge, yes.
When I retire in 45,000 years, I'll have a half pension.
Well, he actually asked them to retire now because he's decided he wants to stay on Earth and rear this child some more.
Right. He's like, I got to be the guardian of this kid now just in case. Because, you know, someone else is going to come looking for this kid and he needs round-the-clock surveillance.
Right. He says that there needs to be a finder on this kid at all times so there's not another Secundus incident.
Oh, I'm no longer a finder. I'm in the private sector now. I'm just watching this kid.
I work for my galaxy's version of Blackwater. Independent contracts only, please.
And they're like, it's another bullshit thing where he's communicating via his forearm walkie-talkie, and they're like, I don't know, Abraxas, we kind of need you back here. And he's like, yeah, but remember what almost happened with Secundus? And they're like, yeah, you're right. Okay, you can stay there. That's cool. And all I'm thinking is, like, he's so protective of this kid, right? Flash forward to Tommy's, like, senior prom.
Now you better be back here. It said that the dance is over with at 11:30 p.m. You bet your Bob I'm going to be sitting up waiting for you. Because you know what? You go partying at one of those after prom parties and you take one shot of Goldschlager. Next thing you know, you got Secundus breathing down your throat. And then we're going to be in a real jam. Buddy,
I'll tell you why that won't ever happen. Because the U.S. government would dissect Abraxas, slice him up. Oh, I guess the Canadian government, excuse me. The Royal Mounties will take him away. Take him to their Area 55.
Oh, man, I wish there was an Abraxas, too, where, like, sure, Secundus is back, because why not? And he's just, like, is posing as a gym teacher.
Thomas, you do your squats better this way. Watch Mr. Secundus. I mean, no, it's no relation. I just happen to be from Norway.
Okay, that didn't work. I'll wait 10 years and be your high school guidance counselor.
You know, goddammit, Secundus, we know it's you. That's a really bad mustache.
Don't call me Secundus, because I tell your child he can't get into Juilliard.
He doesn't have the talent.
I'm not the Secundus. My name is Frondundus.
I'm sorry. You're standing here looking at me straight face, telling me your name's Frondundus.
Yes.
They're in the car. Hey, Barbara, was it just me or did that real estate agent look eerily like Secundus? I know it's highly unlikely, as I've killed him 4 times, but I have a feeling that that real estate agent may indeed have been Secundus.
Although,
oh, you mean Mr. Secundus?
Well, Secundus did have a good deal on that that 4-bedroom we were looking at.
It's time for us to expand, as we got 4 co-majors now.
You know, it's not that I didn't vote for him because I thought Tremundus would make a bad mayor. I'm just pretty certain it was Secundus the whole time. The last thing we need is for Secundus to take over this town, because then he's going to be passing all sorts of anti-Abraxas legislation, and then I'm going to be in a real jam.
A lot of co-major quarantines.
They're going to put you in a camp, buddy, and it's going to be only you and your little brother, Skip, because they're the only co-maters in town.
Oh, that is Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would. I mean, I'm daring you to find it, but I just fucking double dare you. No, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely... It's not a movie to watch by yourself. Get a bunch of friends together. Have a good time.
Do a bunch of bad Jesse the Body impressions.
Exactly. Just throw them all. It's a great thing to have on at a party, I think. You know what I mean? Like, when you're just... Because you can just walk around, do some stuff, come back. Like, oh, is that him on top of the car? That's fun.
You're definitely not going to want to listen to it, which is totally fine.
I would agree with Steve. It's a light recommend, you know... Put it on in that context and you'll have a ball.
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm doing with it. It's a 3-way tie of, yeah, if you can find it. And you're the kind of person who just puts movies on mute at parties, which is totally fine.
It's a party I want to go to.
That is Abraxas, Guardian of the Universe from 1990, directed by Damian Lee. If you want to get a hold of us, check out the website, whmpodcast.com. We got all sorts of back episodes on there that are not on Stitcher. They're not on iTunes. They're not on any feed, but you can go to the website, click on the episodes tab, and you can directly stream or download with a little bit of a right click or a control click if you're on a Mac, and you can download directly these MP3s to your own computer. All the back catalog is there, every single episode we've done. Rate us and review us in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you do actually subscribe to the show. We would greatly appreciate it. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. Also check out our sister show, which Eric Siska hosts himself. It's called Blame It on Outer Space. You can find it in iTunes and Stitcher, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Also at blameitonouterspace.com, at BlameSpacePod on Twitter. What's the episode you're working on?
Right. Well, right now we got an episode on the Mothman up, but I also, for this episode, I thought it'd be good if you want to listen to a good Jesse Ventura impression. Check out our episode on Nazi UFOs with actually James Adomian, who you might know from Comedy Bang Bang and other programs, playing Jesse Ventura.
It's very funny. He's a very talented dude, and that's a good episode. That, again, is blameitonouterspace.com, at BlameSpacePod on Twitter. Clue for next week's episode, Eric Siska.
Shannon Tweed.
Ooh, a film with the sexy Shannon Tweed. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zeta.
Take it easy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think at least one of those 2 house painters might have been Secundus.
It's possible both of them were Secundus, but, you know, I'll bet my bippy one of them was definitely Secundus. Here's another thing I'm just going to put out there, and honey, I know you're going to go up and down about this, but that guy that was volunteering at the church bazaar, pretty sure that was Secundus. You don't just operate a bingo table with a name like Tremundus.
Abraxas is looking over his shoulder this whole life now.
Just forever and ever, there may or may not be a Secundus after.
Where, you know what's funny is, like, I'm imagining that this woman he's probably going to marry will just die, and he'll live another 10,000 years.
Of course.
Oh, weird. This new alien space race, I think one of them might have been a Secundus.
You know, the planet got taken over by mostly reptilians. I'm pretty sure that one reptilian was definitely Secundus. He keeps looking at me cross. You know, hon, I don't want to go back to that supercuts to have them maintain my rat tail, because I'm sure one of the barbers in there is definitely Secundus.
Honey, stop making those cakes. Do you think this clown we got for Tommy's birthday party? He's a pretty large guy, and I can't tell under the makeup.
I mean,
but I think it might be Secundus.
I mean, Secundus the clown. I mean, it's like he's not even hiding.